Amen. Thank you for that wonderful singing. I appreciate the spirit of the meeting this morning. I certainly appreciate the spirit of the meeting tonight. Thank you for being back with us and looking forward to what the Lord has to do. You do know, of course, He's here. He's promised to walk in the midst of the golden candlestick. He's promised to be where two or three gather together in His name. He's promised to speak to those who have ears to hear. I say, Lord, I'm here. Let me hear what you got to tell me. Give me power to obey. Amen? Amen. So I pray and trust that that's your attitude. Well, now this morning I told you about the little blonde-headed lady. Tonight I want to tell you about the little red-headed lady. She's walking down the road pushing a baby stroller, a little baby in it. And she passes a lady and she said, well, hey, Sally, how are you? And Sally said, well, I'm fine. How are you? And they chat a minute or two. And finally, Sally says, well, do I know you? And she said, well, yes, I'm Ann. I'm your best friend. And she said, well, I've got a best friend named Ann, but she's at least 20 years older than you are, has gray hair. You got red hair. And she said, well, that's me. That's me. I'm Ann. She said, that's impossible. You don't. She said, no. She said, let me tell you what happened. I started taking these age-reversing vitamins, and so they've worked. I said, this is what's happened. And she said, well, you look remarkable. She said, what's the deal with the baby? She said, well, that's my husband. He overdosed. So be careful with those vitamins, all right? So that's the little red-headed lady. All right, Luke chapter 14, if you will, please, for our scripture reading tonight. Now, I think many of you know, maybe some of you don't, but I enjoy, we were talking about this coming in tonight, I enjoy shopping at the thrift store. Amen. That's where I buy the majority of my clothes. I paid a little more for this one than I wanted to. They wanted $10 for it. I went ahead and spent it, but I'd rather give an $8. But anyway, I paid $10 for it. But I love the thrift store. And I was telling them when I came in, I said, most every suit I wear has been bought at the thrift store for $10, $11, with the exception of maybe two or three that have been given to me by preachers. I was in Arkansas here a few years ago, three or four years ago, and the preacher gave, there was about 20 preachers there, he gave every one of us a Joseph A. Banks suit. Now, mine had a $595 tag on it, high dollar suit. So I put it on and wore it that night, and when I went to the pulpit, I said, you folk have probably noticed that the rest of this week I've just I walk normal. But I said, tonight I strutted. When you wear an almost $600 suit, you strut. Well, tonight's passage is about figuring whether you want to pay the cost for something, if you want to make the commitment. For those who can and will, if you'll stand with us, please, Luke chapter 14. I'll draw your attention to verse 28, where Jesus said, "Less happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh to get him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but man cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Thank you. You may be seated. So our Lord is talking to us about the matter of making a commitment, of counting the cost before you get involved. He said, if you don't count the cost, then what will happen? You go halfway into it, a quarter of the way into it, and you give up on it and you quit. And people come along and they will talk about it. They'll make fun of you. So he's encouraging us to, before we decide to be a disciple. Now let me pause here just a minute and say that there's a difference in being a born again believer and a disciple. You can be born again, a child of God, and not be a disciple. Now there's a big difference in disciples and the multitude. When you go through the scriptures, you'll find that the multitude would watch Christ teach, and they wouldn't understand, and they'd go away and say, "Well, I didn't understand that." But the disciple, they would stay behind and say, "Lord, would you explain that to us? We'd like to understand what you just said." The multitude would watch them try to cast the demon out of the boy, and it would fail, and they'd go away and say, "Well, that didn't work." But the disciples would stay behind and say, "Lord, why did we fail? Tell us what we can do to fix it." So a disciple is a person who is not only born again, but he wants to learn. He wants to not only hear, but understand. He wants to be able to have the power to do and do it right. And I've said often through the years, "Lord, help me to be a disciple. I don't want to just be a Christian. I want to be one that's disciplined and allows you to work in my life and do in my life what needs to be done." So our Lord is saying to us, if you want to be a disciple, then you've got to realize there's a cost involved. It's going to cost you something. And you're going to have to sit down and think, "Well, am I willing to make this commitment? Am I willing to make this decision where it's going to cost me? Am I going to stick with it?" And so again, our churches are filled with people who are a part of the multitude. But then there's that few that are disciples. And by the way, that's the group that I spent my time with as a preacher. I didn't try to put my energies into those who didn't want to learn, who did not want to do. I spent my energies with those who I could leave the chore with and they would go on with it and carry it forward. And so our Lord is he's challenging us to make a commitment. Now, of course, let me back up just a moment and say that if you're going to remain unsaved, it's going to cost you something for that. I mean, it's not just that you're going to go to hell. That's a big part of it, and that's a horrible part of it. But if you remain unsaved, you're going to live a life without purpose. You're not going to have any peace. There's no answers to prayer. There's no protection. There's all the things that God's people He's promised to give you are not yours. You do without them. So you forfeit that. It costs you to not be a Christian. And then, of course, eventually, if you keep putting it off, you may end up in hell. You do not know when your last day will come. You gamble if you put off salvation. You gamble. You gamble with the fact that you don't know when you're going to draw your last breath. You gamble with the fact that you don't know when Christ is going to come. You gamble with the fact that the Holy Spirit of God may quit dealing with you. I mean, listen, it's a big gamble to put it off. It may cost you. I had a fellow one day, one Wednesday night, they had driven from Alabama to Georgia and attended the meeting, and I saw him sitting there when I was preaching. I watched him during the invitation grip the pew, and he struggled to stay in his pew. He struggled, and finally he made it through the invitation, and he left, and I thought, "Lord, he was so close. I wish he'd just let go one moment, and he'd have been down the aisle." But the next day, his girlfriend, his fiance, called me, and she said, "Preacher, you probably noticed my boyfriend last night really struggled in the invitation." I said, "I did." She said, "Well, he's asked me to call you and tell you that he's going to come back Sunday and he wants to walk the aisle and he wants you to lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ." I said, "Well, that's wonderful." But I said, "Sunday's a long way off." I said, "This is Thursday. We're talking about Thursday and Friday and Saturday." I said, "He may not make it to Sunday." I said, "Tell him to come to the phone and let me talk with him and I'll tell him what to do now." And so over her shoulder, she said, "He wants to talk to you now." And he said, "No, tell him I want to walk the aisle and I want him to lead me to Christ." He said, "I tell him I'll be there Sunday, I promise it." Well, that was on Thursday. Well, Saturday evening, the phone rang and it was her. And she's sobbing. She said, "Preacher, we won't be there tomorrow." Well, the first thing came to my mind, love was spat, went their separate ways. He won't come with her. And I said, "Well, I'm so sorry, Joyce. I hate that." And she said, "Well, let me tell you what happened." She said, "We went fishing yesterday. And so we're out in the lake, out on the lake, and we gave out a gas, and we couldn't get back to shore. So he decided, he was a good swimmer, he decided that he would jump in and he would swim to shore and get some gas and get another boat and come back and then tow me in. And she said he jumped in and he was gone and he was gone and he was gone and he was gone. And he didn't return, and finally it's dark, and finally somebody comes and tows me in. I tell them my boyfriend's gone. They begin to drag the lake. He'd gotten tangled up in some fishing line, and it pulled him under and he drowned. I laid the phone down and I said, "Dear God, I'm hoping, I'm praying that somewhere, as he was making that last time going under, he remembered the Wednesday night when the Holy Ghost of God tugged at his heart and tried to pull him to himself, and maybe that came to his mind, and maybe he cried out to God in that last moment. Maybe God birthed him into the family of God, like he did the thief on the cross. Just a simple prayer. Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me." I mean, just a simple prayer. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate. It doesn't have to be long, but just something simple and from your heart. And I'm saying, "Lord, I hope and pray that as he made that last trip under, that somehow he cried out to God and asked him to say," I'm just saying, listen, you can put it off and it costs you more than you'd want to pay. But then after you get saved, Satan wants to tempt you to backslide. He doesn't want you to walk with God. He doesn't want you to walk in victory. Now, it is God's will for every person in this room to walk in victory. God does not want us to be victims. I don't have to say the devil made me do it. I don't have to continually apologize to God for messing up. Listen, God wants us to walk in victory. Now, you're going to mess up. You're going to sin. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you don't have to go down that wrong road for mile after mile. You can step out of the line and then say, "Lord, I've messed up," and He'll bring you right back in. But Satan does not want you to live a life of victory. He wants you to backslide. The songwriter said, "Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it for Thy courts above." But if you backslide, it's going to cost you something. The man came to me. Well, actually, I watched him come to the altar. He was 85 years of age, a well-dressed man, very well-built. And I watched him go to the altar, and I watched him for about 10 minutes just sob like a child. His body shook with sobs. And so I went over and put my arm around him, and I said, "Sir, is there something I can help you with?" Well, I couldn't understand him. He was sobbing so. And finally, I said, "Well, look, when you get through praying," I said, "come to me, and we'll talk, and I'll try to help you." And so he came to me and he said, "Preacher, I'm saved. There's no doubt about that." But he said, "Let me tell you my story." He said, "When I was a boy, I got saved. When I was a young boy. And so I lived for the Lord." He said, "I was faithful to the house of God. I loved the Bible and did all that I was supposed to do as a Christian." And then he said, "I went away to the service and became a Marine and got involved with all that happens with those other guys, the drinking, the women, all the other things." And he said, "It sucked me into that. And I backslid on God." And he said, "I stayed backslidden all through my time in the service. Stayed backslidden after I came out. Stayed backslidden after I began to have children." He said, "I had 5 boys. And then I didn't raise them for Christ. Didn't take them to church. Didn't talk to them about eternal things." And he said, "Now I've got 5 grown boys." Now he's 85, so his boys are probably in their 60s and so forth. He said, "I've got 5 grown boys that are hell bound because I backslid on God." And he's weeping over it. It cost him something. He had no influence with his children. He had no impact upon those that were closest to him because he had gotten away from God. And I'm telling you, listen, our Lord is saying, you might want to think about the cost. It may cost you something. And if you're going to make a commitment, be sure you're willing to pay that. Now, when it comes to growing in the Lord and going forward in grace, listen, there is a general cost to everybody. Everybody in this room, there is a general cost. There's Bible reading. You got to make a commitment to be faithful to the house of God. There's prayer. Those are things that every person, if you're going to go forward to the Lord, with the Lord, everybody in this room's got to do that. To grow in the Lord. Everybody. You will not go forward without those ABCs of the Christian life. Did you realize that if you have 10-minute devotions every day, 10 minutes, every day of the week, 7 days a week, 10 minutes, and you spend 3 hours in church on Sunday. So 10 minutes a day, every day, 7 days a week, 3 hours in church on Sunday, you will have spent 1.5 years in God's work in 70 years. Over a span of 70 years, 1.5 years is all you've invested in your growth. I wouldn't want a dentist working on my teeth who's only put that much training in. And we wonder why that we're weak and defeated because we're not willing to pay the price. We've got so many other things on the table that we don't have time for the scriptures. We don't have time for the house of God. We don't have time for the prayer. And so if we're going to go forward as a Christian, if we're going to move in the direction of God, then there's going to be that general cost for everybody. But then there's a particular cost, something that is going to cost you. That may not cost anybody else. Something that God will put His finger on in your life. When I pastored, I was trying to train soul winners constantly. On Tuesday, I had one man I'd take soul winning. On Thursday, I'd have another man that I'd take soul winning. On Saturday, I'd take another man that so I was trying to duplicate myself so that we'd have a true soul winning church. Not just the pastor, but the deacons winning people to Christ. The Sunday school teachers, the choir members, the musicians, the soloists. I wanted all of them to have the joy, the thrill of taking the scriptures and opening them and saying to an old sinner that's in darkness, let me tell you how to come to the light. And watching them step out of dark. I wanted them to know the thrill, the excitement. I wanted my children, my grandchildren to know that thrill. My little 11-year-old granddaughter called me one day and she said, Papa, I just led my schoolmate to Christ. I said, well, baby, that's wonderful. Tell me what happened. She said, well, 2 days ago, said she came in and she said, Samantha, why don't you do this and this and this and this? And she said, I told her because I'm a Christian. The next day she came and she said, well, Samantha, what is a Christian? And she said, I told her. And she said, Papa, today, she came in and said, would you show me how to be a Christian? She was so excited. She was thrilled. I wanted everybody in our church to have that thrill of knowing what it is to take somebody by the hand and lead them to Christ, to bring them to the Savior. It's almost like being saved all over again. The thrill is wonderful. And so I would take this man on Tuesday and this one on Thursday and this one on Saturday and try to duplicate myself to teach them how to win souls. Well, my wife and I had taken this young lady that we had found in a national park. She was living in a pup tent in the dead of winter with a little baby in a national park. Beautiful young lady. I mean, just extremely gorgeous. And so we brought her to the church. She became a Christian. She began to walk with the Lord. Had a beautiful voice. She could sing solos and just stir. When she'd sing, she'd reach up toward heaven and get a hold of heaven and just pull it right down in that church. She didn't just perform. She'd pull heaven right down in the middle of that church. And so I wanted her to be a soul winner. So my wife and I have taken her with us on this Tuesday visiting. We got through with our visitation and I pulled up to a little old store and I said, I'm going to go in and get you something to drink and a snack of some sort. What you want? My wife told me. And this young lady said, well, whatever drink she told me. And I said, what about a snack? She said, well, anything. I said, well, what about a Hershey bar? And she said, oh, no, no, no. She said, I can't eat Hershey bars. Well, first thing came to my mind, a Hershey bar would. That's first thing came to my mind. And I laughed and I said, oh, you think you're watching your weight? She said, no, no, it's not that. She said, when I was on drugs, she said, I would eat Hershey bars. And so if I eat Hershey bars now, it stirs those feelings and those desires to where I struggle with it. Now, what I'm saying to you is, listen, if she's going to be strong as a Christian, it's going to cost her a Hershey bar. Doesn't bother me. May not bother you. So you see, sometime a God will put His finger on something in your life, and you look around, you see preachers who do it, deacons who do it, and you say, well, it doesn't matter. God's speaking to you. He's dealing with you personally. That's your struggle. That is your area that you're needing help in. And He knows in order for you to go forward, in order for you to become strong, you're going to have to put that down, give it to Him, surrender it to Him. And Hershey bars was her. Some of you have heard me tell this story. When I was a new Christian, I had a Volkswagen Doodlebug. Got saved in that Volkswagen. on a Tuesday morning, about 10 o'clock, gave my heart to Christ. I had on the front of that Volkswagen a tag that said, Chevy Eater, 40 horsepower. Chevy Eater. I love the little old tag. Got a lot of comments about it and so forth. And so I'd driven to North Georgia to preach a meeting, and when I arrived, the place was packed out already. People parked here and yonder and everywhere. And when I got out of my car, you could hear the men down in the woods. Boy, they'd already got a hold of heaven. They were praying the fire of God down, and you could sense the presence of Christ in the grounds there. And you could hear the women in the church there. They were praying, it was obvious that God was in the place. And I started around in front of my Volkswagen, and that tag caught my eye. And the Holy Spirit said to me, as a preacher, you don't need that tag. You say, preacher, that's silly. Yeah, maybe for you. But see, God's dealing with me. You may can have one, but He's speaking to me about it. This is something that's going to be a barrier in my life. It's going to be a hindrance to me. I can't explain to you why. I just know the Holy Ghost spoke to me that night. And so I reached in my pocket and I got me a dime out and I took that tag off and I crumbled it up and put it in the back seat and walked away from there in victory. I'm telling you, listen, I believe with all of my heart if I'd have left that tag on, after the Holy Ghost of God had spoken to me, I'd have walked into that church and I'd have preached that message and I'd have had no power on my life whatsoever. You say, preacher, just a tag. I know. But see, there's something, a Hershey bar, a tag, something that's got to be surrendered to the Lord. It's going to cost you something, something in particular, something that you know God has spoken to you about. It may be. A habit that you've got, maybe smoking or some other thing. Maybe it's a TV program you watch and you know it's not something you would watch if the preacher was there or if Jesus was sitting in the house. I mean, something that He's spoken to you about and you know it, it's very clear, it's bothered you, but you've just not given it up. Our Lord said, you might want to count the cost. I mean, it's not going to cost you anything to give it up. Not much, but it sure costs you a lot if you hang on to it. And so He's saying, if a man goes to war, he needs to be sure that he's committed to that. If a man's going to build a tower, then you need to be sure that you've got what it takes and you're not going to leave it undone. And if you're going to be my disciple, make sure that you're willing to pay what it's going to cost you. And I'm looking at you tonight and I realize that every individual, every Christian that's ever been used of God has something that God speaks to him about. And unless you deal with that, that's where you stop. You don't go forward. You can't go around it. There is an Isaac in everybody's life. Abraham, I want that boy. I want you to give me that boy. Lord, I don't understand you. Now, he didn't say this, but I would have. He's going to be the means of bringing heirs into this world, and you made me a promise that I have children with, and I want him. So Abraham didn't argue with God. Matter of fact, the Bible said he got up early to go do what God wanted him to do. And he says to the men there, he said, you stay here, me and the boy are going yonder. We're going to worship and we'll be back. What do you mean? God's told you you're going to kill your boy. Yeah, but I know what God said about the promise and he can't keep both. He's got to do something unusual. And we're going to, listen, he said, worship. Then we're coming back. And my point is there some Isaac in you, something that, And it won't be just that one time. It'll be, as you grow, it'll be another time. And as you grow, there'll be something else. And I mean, mine was the little tag at the beginning, but then there's been other things, which are none of your business, that the Lord has spoken to me about. And I've had to surrender, and I've had to say, Lord, I'm willingly give it to you. I know if I don't, it's going to cost me something. And it's not a very big price for me to just give this up. So for me to go forward, again, there's a general cost. I hope you're praying and being faithful to the house of God and reading your Bible. But it's more than that. There's something personal in your life that God wants to put His finger on and say, let me have that. I'm sure you've heard the story. It's an old one. But the young girl had been given a necklace. It was cosmetic jewelry, costume jewelry, just wasn't worth anything, just didn't cost much at all. But her daddy had given it to her, and she wore that thing since she was a little girl. I mean, wore it when she went to bed, wore it when she took a bath. Just loved that little necklace. And now she's a young lady. She's up in her late teens now, and her and her daddy sitting around one night at the fireplace, and he said, "Honey," he said, "I want you to give me that necklace." And she said, "Oh, Daddy, I don't want to do that." She said, "You gave me the necklace, and I treasure it. It's something I love, and I don't want to ever part with it." And he said, "Honey, I want you to give me the necklace." And she said, "Daddy, I hope you're teasing. I don't want to give my necklace up. You've given it to me, and I've treasured it all these years." And he said, "Honey, I want you to give me the necklace." So with tears running down her face, she reached and unhooked it and dropped it in his hand. And to her horror, she watched him take that and throw it into the fire. And as it burns up, she starts squalling. She can't believe that he's taken this thing that she has treasured, that she has loved, and he's just flippantly destroyed that thing in front of her eyes. And while she's crying, he gets up from his chair and he comes around and he takes this real expensive necklace and hooks it on her neck. Much more valuable. And I'm saying, whatever God is saying, "I want that too." If you'll give it to him, he'll give you something far more valuable. Far more valuable. You may treasure this, but this will be much more expensive. Would you let him have it? We sing, "I surrender all." But do we? Do we surrender all? I mean, is that this thing or that thing? Are we willing to let him have it so that we can go forward? I'm just saying to you, listen, if we're going to be used of God, if we're going to have revival, there's a cost to it. And our Lord's question is, are you willing to make that decision, that commitment, to pay that price? Would you stand with us for prayer, please? Our heads are bowed. Let me ask you, how many in the room, by lifting hands, say, "Preacher, boy, that sure hit home with me. God has dealt with me through the years. Boy, hands already going up all over the building. God bless you. God spoke to you. To God be the glory." Would you be willing to just go ahead as he begins to play, make your way to this altar, and make a public statement by coming to the altar? You don't have to say anything, but you make a public statement. "Lord, I'm publicly coming and saying, I'm willing to make that commitment. I'm willing to pay that price to be everything you want me to be, to have revival in my life. Whatever you put your finger on, I'll surrender all." Would you do that? You've lifted your hand. You come on now. God bless you. Just keep coming. Come on. Come on. He's speaking to you right now. God bless you. Good. Come on. You'll find liberty in surrender. Thank you. God bless you. Come on.